Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. Whoa, that was not some good information. Go ask this foreign God if I'm going to get better. And he gets intercepted by Elijah. And Elijah said, you're asking the wrong guy. He's a dead man. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said to us, this is funny here. They ask you what he looked like. Turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel, but thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was this which came up to meet you and told you these? What did this dude look like?
Yes.
I have a hunch here. Tell me exactly what this guy looked like. And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. I knew it. Nobody wears a girdle like his.
Isn't that funny? And I'm just thinking about the parallel between this and Herod. Whenever Herod's like, that's got to be John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the same.
Right?
Yeah. Then the king said unto him, Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him. Behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. So he sends a captain and 50 guards. Go get this Elijah to Tishbite. I'm going to have a word with him. No, he said, I'm going to die. I got to have a word with him. So this guy takes his soldiers up there. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50.
Oh, yeah.
If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he didn't even give the man conversation. He's sitting up there on the hilltop looking off toward the sun. And this guy and his 50 come up behind him, very intimidating. Elijah the Tishbite, the king wants to see you. Wham! Fire from heaven. You know, those men have no heart in the will of God. None of them. How far the northern kingdom of Israel has come. And again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, he's a captain. You know, I was in the army, and the higher the rank, the go, the more boisterous and the bigger, you know, you grow a foot with each rank, you know, and this guy's about 17 feet tall, and he's got his soldiers behind him, and they march up there behind the second time, they march up there behind Elijah.
Around all the charred carcasses.
Oh, yeah. And you can imagine his privates, his soldiers. They're looking at all the remains of the other 50.
Yeah. The arms.
And he adds quickly, you come down now.
Yeah.
And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So it's another charbroiled platoon of men there. And Elijah's just sitting there whistling.
Yeah.
Verse 13, chapter 1, 2 Kings. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah.
That's a little wit.
Yes. There. Sometimes it takes God's miraculous miracles to get to the attention of the spirit man inside you. Because the spirit man of all these soldiers was totally asleep. Mm-hmm. No respect for God. Nothing whatsoever. Well, he's done seen 100 different soldiers being wiped out by fire from heaven. And on his way up the hill, passing the charred remains of the others.
The smoke coming up.
He's thinking, shall I order him down like the last two did? Shall I fall on my knees and beg mercy and just tell him that the king would...
Look, buddy, he made me do this.
Like, yeah, you... the king would one day like you to come and see him if you get a minute. So he fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Forgive me my trespass, man of God. I have no choice. I was sent here. Forgive my trespass, please. Had the others approached in such a manner, none of this would have happened. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the 450s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So Elijah's going to go down, talk to the king now. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for inasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word, because you choose another god before me. It's not because I'm not here. Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahijah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Take that little comical session there with Elijah and the soldiers and the fire from heaven. You know, a tragedy as it was at the time. It's comical, but it's a lesson in the heart. Don't ever approach God with an unwilling heart. Don't ever ask God for anything with a heart that's not willing. Don't ever give in charity with a heart that's not willing. Don't ever give anything, you know, if your heart's not in it, because it means nothing. You can give the biggest offering of anyone in the congregation every Sunday because you feel the need, and you like the church to know that you're a big contributor and there's a big tax benefit at the end of the year. It means nothing whatsoever. You give in charity. You approach God with the heart, a serving heart, the heart of a servant. That's what this third captain did. You know, please forgive my trespass, your servants. You know, that's a lesson in approaching God right there. The most powerful force there is. The great I am. There is none other. All others are fake. All others are made up. Before God, there was nothing. God is always and always will be. It's you got to have a heart that wishes to please God. And if you do that thing, you'll be judged by that heart, not by the works of your hands. Because if I'm ever judged by the works of my hands, hell, beyond hell, make a better place, a worser place than hell for me, Lord, for the works of my hands. Because I don't deserve anything. So, examine your heart, Christian, in everything that you do. It needs to be the guiding force in your life. In chapter 2, book of 2 Kings, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here." Now, Elisha is his apprentice prophet that he took on a while back. Elisha's been watching Elijah the whole time, and Elijah is known for his powerful, powerful miracle done in his presence. He says, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Now, he's been obeying this man in every word, in every sentence, in every period. The whole time he's been accompanying him for some time now. But he disobeys now. "I will not leave thee." He knows. He's got an idea of what's going on. They went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" So these other prophets have gotten word of it. You know, they're on the prophet email list, and they got spiritual notice that, hey, the head prophet in the land is getting ready to be replaced. And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Don't say anything. I know. I know." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." No. How many times, Christian, have you sought to force God to do things? And Elisha's thinking, if I stay right here, in arm's distance, he can't be taken away from me. I'll grab hold of him. You know, I'll keep him right here. I remember my father was in a car accident down in on a job down in Alabama, and he was in a coma. And you know, I went in there and I said, "God says, you got two, wherever two or three believe, that which is asked for will be given." So I went on a very strict fast, and I fasted for about 18 days. This was a week or this was about a week and a half into his coma when it didn't look good. And I prayed all day long in the hospital waiting room, and I fasted every day, every day. I ate nothing whatsoever. I was bound and determined to tie God's hands with a big rope and make him do what I thought his word said, which was wherever two or three get together in my name and request something, they'll get it, because my family were all requesting that my father live. And the fast and the prayer continued daily, 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 daily. And then he died. And I tell you what, it was his time to die. There's no way you can tie God's hands. You can only ask for a reprieve, but don't dare go into a religious convulsion, fasting and 12 hours of prayer a day, thinking that you're going to tie God's hands and make him do anything. You're going to make God do anything. If it's someone's time, it's someone's time. All you can do is ask. But I tell you what, God didn't punish me for that. He gave me, as soon as he died, he gave me peace and understanding. And I am so thankful for that, because I was expecting devastation. But the peace came on me automatically. And I understood what I was attempting to do. Don't ever try that. All you can do is make a request of your father. And it's not even needed in a verbal form. You worship God. He knows what you want, and he knows what you need. And if it's in his mercy, and if it's in his plan, you'll get it, if your heart is following after him. That's it. I could have went away from that thinking, if my heart were only following a little more. No, it would not have mattered. Elisha's heart doesn't want Elijah to leave, to the point where I'm going to stay right beside, I'm going to disobey you the first time in my life. Now the second time in my life, I'm going to disobey you, my master, the head prophet of Israel. I'm going to disobey you because I don't want you out of my sight. I'm going to make sure there's no way you can be taken from me. But it's not going to come to pass. It's God's will. God has a plan for Elijah that Elisha doesn't know about. And that's to stand before the God of the earth in the last part of the tribulation period. So he must be taken from this world alive and to die at a later time. And the sons of the prophets that were in Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. This man's heart was following after God.
Another account of the waters dividing.
Absolutely.
Very unique.
Power of God still available today.
The awesome imagery of that one verse right there.
Yes.
He took his...
Now, reading this part, I think this awesome man of God. This is the man of God that was running from Jezebel. Mm-hmm. After he killed 450 prophets of Baal under God's command. One of the greatest slaughters of the enemy. By himself, basically.
I'll say by himself, yeah.
Yes. And the next day he's running for his life. That shows you, Christian, every day is not going to be a triumph in God. Every day you're going to go through ebbs and valleys, mm-hmm. ups and downs. And if you get it in your head that you are only going to be good, then you're going to majorly fail. You got to understand it's a daily struggle. You got to get up in the morning and be the best person that you can possibly be. And when you fail that day, you need to get up in the morning and be the best person that you can possibly be. Because there are a lot of contributing factors. Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, fearing her the very next day after being filled with the awesome power of God, he was physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. Your physical body has a lot to do with how much control the spirit man has also. You let it get fat and full of things, carbohydrates and all sorts of garbage that you don't need. That spirit man is going to go to sleep and get very weak. You think that Twinkie only makes your belly big and your arms weak? No, the spirit man's belly's getting big and his arms getting weak too. You got to feed the spirit man with the word of God. And if you feed the body Twinkies all the time, the body's not going to pick up the word of God to feed the spirit man. Everything is interconnected. Everything in moderation to keep the spirit man healthy. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Wow. This man, Elisha, really looked up to Elijah. He says, What you are, let it be twice what I am. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So Elijah said, That's a tough one. I don't have the answer to that. But I tell you what, I'm going to leave it in God's hands. That's not what's there, but that's what's in between the lines. I'm going to leave it in God's hands. And if by whatever method God takes me, if he allows you to see it, then your prayer will be answered. if he doesn't allow you to see it, sorry, you don't get your request. Came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What an amazing way to exit this life. An amazing chariot and horses made of flame and fire coming down from the sky and picking up this man of God, who was not perfect, as we've noted, but his heart always followed after God. That's the thing. Even in your lowest time, is your heart still crying out from that deep abyss that this flesh has put it in? Please, I got to get control again. I know what I'm doing is wrong. You, be quiet out in there. We're enjoying ourselves up here. Yeah, that's the voice you got to put down. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my mother, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes. Did you notice something there, Jonathan? Mm-hmm. Often overlooked. You know, I'd heard this for years and years and years. Chariot and horses came down, and Elijah jumped on. There was a chariot and driver.
Right.
Two of them. You don't pick that up right off the bat, do you?
Mm-mm.
Between the lines. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and the charioteers in it. How many times you heard that in church from your pastor? It's important. And he said unto him, no more, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took upon the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So Elijah's mantle, his little scarf he wears over his shoulders, fell. And Elisha picked it up and crossed back over Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. There he has become the same as Elijah. But you'll see, if you study Elisha and Elijah, he does exactly twice the miracles. God is a God of truth. And he said, if I let you see this thing, it will be done unto you. So, and when the sons of the prophets, which were in the view of Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." They recognized it right off. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master." Let's go back just a second. There's a very important thing there. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Interesting. Not bow down before no man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, several of the patriarchs have tried, and John in Revelation tried to bow themselves before angels. They said, hey, don't you do that.
Right.
Don't you do that. You know, but you know what? A man instilled with the heart of God reigns above you. There is no problem with bowing yourself down to a true man of God. As these prophets, lesser prophets, bowed themselves down to him. Now, had there been an angel there, the angel said, no. I don't have the stature of this man of God next to me. They rank a little lower than a man whose heart follows God. Bible says so. They will be made sons of God one day.
So gravity of the whole thing is that the living God's on Elisha.
On him. Yes. Like, yes. If your heart is following after God, the Holy Spirit is inside you. At a time when the Holy Spirit was not sent here to indwell everyone. But he would come and dwell in those who would seek after him. Now he's here for the grabbing. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Hey, where's your master at? Where's Elijah at? Let us go look for him. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not sin. Hey, ain't no point. Mm-hmm. Ain't no point looking for him, man.
Nope. You ain't finding that one.
He left in this big flaming chariot. This big smoke screen behind it as it was going up.
Yeah, you see him right now, like, with a straight jacket, like, okay, tell us more about this.
Yeah. When they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Say, yeah, sure. Yeah. Go on out there, search your heads off. They sent him therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? Yeah, did I not tell you, you're wasting your time? He's gone. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. But the water is not, and the ground barren. It's a nice city, but the water's nasty to drink, and it doesn't grow much crops around here. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Bring me a bucket of water, and put some salt in it. And he went forth unto the springs of water, and cast the salt in there. And said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Did the prophets ask for anything? No, they just told him the situation there. Elisha took it upon himself to cleanse the city. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence to Bethel. As was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Yeah, Elisha was bald, which was a great disgrace for Hebrew. But there were reasons that God told him to do it at certain times. When the nature and the morality of the nation would get so bad, he would have his holy men shave their heads as a sign of disgrace. Yes, I'm your prophet, but what am I a prophet of? Dogs. That's why my head is shaven. You don't deserve to be alive, let alone have a prophet trying to bring the will of God into your nation. So these little children up there, hey, you baldy, they're making fun of him because that's a big thing for a Hebrew to be bald. It's a no-no. In fact, there are times back in passages back where they would catch Hebrews and shave their heads and their beards and send them back to their king as an insult. Hey, you sent me a man. Look what we sent you back. A dog with a shaven head. Yes. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. There came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and 2 children. So the bears came out of the woods and ripped the children to shreds. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Oh, that's terrible. Why would God have 42 children slaughtered? 42 children of people who hate him. What's it say, Donna? The generational curse.
Yeah, it passes on down to the second and third.
Third and fourth generation.
Third and fourth, yeah. That's what it is.
I will curse those who hate me to the third and fourth generation. Children of God haters, children of people who worship other gods have no protection from God. And they have the audacity to come out and slander the word of God, slander God Almighty. This is God's man coming out and mocking him and slandering. God is no respecter of person. I don't care if you're 6 years old. or 106 years old. If you don't respect him, he's not going to respect you. And they died for it. It's a very, very good lesson in generational curses. Be careful, fathers and mothers, what you do with your lives. Your children follow you. Are they going to face curses all their lives because you lived an abominable life? Didn't try to put God in your life in any way, shape, or form? It's like a hallway. I talk about this all the time. Your past life is a hallway with doors on both sides. Some doors go open to good, godly things. Other doors open to evil, darkness. Be careful which ones you open, because your children are walking down the same hallway right behind you. And once those doors are open, they're very difficult to shut. Been good to be with you here today on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.